Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour for October 16th, 2014. And first announcement, in 2 weeks, not next week, but the week after, my Thursday evening show only will be changing frequencies to the winter time frequency of 5.070. So that's October 30th. Mark your calendar that the frequency, shortwave frequency from WWCR, Nashville, Tennessee, my Thursday night show, will change to the winter time frequency of 5.070. Currently, this week and next week, the 23rd of October, I will remain at 9.350 megahertz. Okay, and I'll announce that again next week. First of all, I got an email from a listener from Alberta, Canada, where they're trying to install a UNESCO school. That's the United Nations, with basically infiltration from the United Nations, which is, of course, a control mechanism of the World Banks. A lot of people think that the UN is out there for peace in the world, but we've had more wars since the United Nations has been in place than anything else. There are some people that work there who are trying to strive for peace, but at any rate, it's been really a method for manipulating countries. But the people in Alberta, Canada, the reason I'm bringing this up, the UNESCO school, is that they're trying to fight this. And, of course, the school board is hot to put this in, and when you're fighting school boards, what I've found out is it's like worse than talking to a wall. They're really not a lot of times the brightest bulb on the tree, and I'm sorry to say that if anybody is a school administrator out there, but the population, the intelligent population, let me put it that way, has a real difficult time dealing with school administrations. But if anybody has a idea on how to deal with this, how to combat it or whatever, please give me an email and I'll try and sort through those and let this listener know. Second of all, okay, the Ebola situation, this is just going to get out of hand. The CDC and the World Health Organization's have left this, the countries basically pants down, left the situation wide open for Ebola to come in, and it is here. The second nurse from the Dallas hospital that now has been on an airplane, flew up to Cleveland, I mean, and then the people, the administrators are saying, oh, there's zero possibility that she would have infected anybody. There's now, I've been heard a report from a listener in Texas that a family from this smaller town in Texas was on the airplane. The entire family was on the airplane with this nurse on the plane to Cleveland, and they are now back in Texas with the kids going to school. Not to mention who knows else, who else on this airplane, and they're... This is, you know, Ebola is a highly contagious disease. They're letting people fly into the United States and into the Western world without any control at all. So the gloves are off. Ebola is going to go viral in this country. They're saying that in Libya, right now they need 80,000 body bags. You know what that means? They have to put the dead people into the body bags, and I'm sorry this sounds a bit gross, but I'm just trying to report the news as it's coming across and not being reported in the United States Schmooze News. They need 80,000 body bags in Libya alone just to deal with the dead people that are there now, or the people who are dying from Ebola. This is beyond out of control. The way this could have been contained originally is when those original populations of Ebola started, you quarantine them, and what did the United States do? sends all kinds of health workers in there. They end up contracting this. Then they fly them back to the United States, some of them on commercial flights. Let's just put it right in the population and just let it go. That's what exactly. And the Center for Disease Control this past week came out and said, well, gee, maybe we should modify our policy after public outrage occurred, but they still haven't done anything. So the whole point is they have promoted by ignorance and really you have to understand that this is being done on purpose. The people in these administrative positions in the World Health Organization, CDC, are just manipulated fools. They are not doing their job for whatever reason, but Ebola is going to go viral in this country. It's going to get into schools. And I'm wondering about a week or two weeks ago, I reported regarding the schools, high levels of students out with the enterovirus D68, and the schools remaining open because they didn't want to lose the federal funding for losing school days. But this is weakening drastically the immunological system of our youth population. And so that, followed by Ebola virus, would just be running like wildfire through the schools. And of course, the health system in this country is not set up to handle this. You have illegals coming in by the boatload daily, and also being shipped off directly to be in schools. There's no check, there's no health check on any of this. This country is, I can't imagine it's going to last much longer. So at any rate, what I'm encouraging people to do is to simply prepare to quarantine yourselves. And I believe that this day is coming very soon. So that means food, water supplies, water purification supplies, etc. And now there's one thing I heard, I can't confirm it, but I've heard that the Ebola virus does not live in water. So it's not like it's going to come through your water system. And so it's not an issue of filtering water to get Ebola out, but it's a matter of sustaining yourself, having clean water, because there's another thing I have to mention, that there are companies that are advertising countertop and under-the-counter water filter systems that depend on water pressure, tubes. You hook these up by tubes. And I've actually removed those from my sales page because I just am going to concentrate on water filter systems that are required for emergency. Anything that has a tube connection that requires pressure from your water system, whether it's a well water or, for the majority of people, city water, is not for emergency, because that pressure won't be there. There will be a day when the city simply will not be able to supply infrastructure, and the first thing to go will be the water supply. So do not get something that's a countertop, faucet connected water filter, or an under the counter water filter system that works off of pressure. And there's some that have electric also. None of those are for emergency. The only unit that you should consider for emergency is a gravity feed water filter. Also, it's portable. You can take it with you. And that's something that's becoming more necessary. So at any rate, I just want to mention, on my sales page, I have the water filter systems are still on 10% sale. The bulk filters, that's 10 in a group, are on sale. These are the GF filters, the ones that take out the chloramines and the heavy metals and the fluoride and the arsenic and everything, all in the one filter element. To me, it's the only choice on the market today. There are people who, and this is for city water. Now, I have still a lot of people who buy just the regular less expensive filter systems with the stainless steel or the plastic containers, and some buy the add-on arsenic fluoride filtration. I still use those myself. I don't in some of my locations, but if you're really hooked up to city water, what you want is the new GF filters that take out everything, all of that stuff, the pharmaceuticals, all of that come out in the filter element. Those are still on 10% sale. But here's something, and I know that every week there are new people that listen to this show. And so what I put together is a package that is for the Ebola issue here. Here is the situation. People need a travel filter. They need the home filter, the gravity countertop filter. And I'm going to make this very brief. On the sales page, this is explained on my sales page. But also, if people want to give something away to their kids at school or something like this, what I put together is a package basically called the Ebola Sales Package, and it's kind of a gross way to put this, but it's the stainless steel water filter with the four GF filters. It comes with four GF filters, a 10-pack of the GF filters. This is a package. The pre-filter, which is the pre-filter to filter out gunk, etc., the universal Chemrad oil pre-filter, and then the accessory set, which is additional powders and the filter. There are filter-like papers, basically, that allow you to layer the powders in the pre-filter. The accessory set includes more powder and extends the lifetime of the use of the pre-filter. And then the small, the 2-liter travel filter. All of this, if you bought these separately, and by the way, I'm going to include also free the full set of ebooks and CDs. So it's a complete library of my ebooks and CDs. And this is, by the way, only good in the 50 states. This is not going to be sent to any foreign country because of the quantity. These are heavy items. Cannot send these to foreign countries, unfortunately. But if you bought all these separately, the price tag would be $1,234. The sale price for this entire group of items is $995. And so that's a huge savings off of the already discounted prices, and remember that these items are still 10% discount on the sale page. So that's once again the stainless steel gravity top water filter with four filter elements, the 10 pack of the GF filters for long, that's good for like a 10 year period of filtration of water, the pre-filter, the universal Chemrad pre-filter, the accessory set for the pre-filter, and the 2-liter mini travel emergency filter. So see that on the webpage. Okay, enough of that, but I'm telling people to just become prepared. This Ebola issue is being forced on you. There's not going to be a choice. And this is going to be, if you want to see this in a movie form, watch the movie V. But also, I was on John Moore's show Wednesday morning. A caller called in and said he had heard John Kerry had spoken with the Prime Minister of France, and the conversation was dealing with some kind of celestial event within the next year that would shut down the entire world. And, of course, I believe what they're referring to there is a solar event. I'm not aware of any like Planet X type event or anything like that. Asteroid crashing into Earth. If they know something, then why isn't NASA telling us about it? So there's nothing in the wind. There's nothing in the public domain that would suggest that we're going to have a celestial event. Other than the thing they keep pointing to is the solar flares. And I pointed out that many times I've been asked to be, for example, on the Coast to Coast AM radio show as an evening special guest to talk about solar flaring. And I, for the many years, I've gone on and said there's no issue with solar flaring now because the sun is quiescent, it's quiet, it's not doing anything. And so, just kind of quietly, I've been not asked to do that anymore. I don't get those evening calls anymore to be an expert witness on the solar activity, because I'm telling it like it is. And I believe they need somebody to pump it up and say, wow, the solar flare is going to take out the Earth's electrical system and all of this. And that's what NASA has been pumping up for a long time, this solar flare. That I just saw another article recently where they're trying to pump up this concept that the solar flare is going to take out the electrical grid. And the sun is very quiet, extremely quiet lately. And so all I can tell you is that given the historical record, it's hard to predict the future. But what they're looking for is some kind of solar flare, and then they can say, ooh, it took out the Earth's electrical grid, and actually pull the switch on it. And that's what they need to shut down this country. I've always said it's going to be kind of a combined man-made event with a so-called act of God celestial event that they're going to promote on the internet and through their controlled news media to pretend like the grid is coming down. But I've also told people how to detect that it's a false flag event, because a real solar flare is not going to take down the entire grid. It's going to take down portions here and there. And there will be portions of the grid which will sustain, which will maintain, and this will be worldwide. It'll only affect one side of the Earth, not the other. And so it has to be coupled with a flare that hits during the daytime. So that's a little bit harder to do. At any rate, the whole idea here is that the nutcases that are running this planet have control of our military. They have control of the all of the satellite and the other, and the news media, of course, the court systems, and all of the bizarre legislation that has been passed over past years is all in place. So at any rate, the Ebola issue, though, is kind of central. I mean, it's more than kind of central. It is central. And given what's going on, given the fact that the World Health Organization and the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta have completely opened up the doors and let Ebola into this country when it could have easily been contained originally, and to let those third world countries just promulgate this disease to the point where there's, you know, tens and hundreds of thousands of people dying from it in those countries, and allowing people to fly into this country with no quarantine, no checks of any kind, just tells you clearly that this is being pushed into the United States and it's going to be here. You have nurses that have it flying on public airplanes, those people going off. The tests that they have for detecting Ebola are not 100% sure. The tests that they've been using for Ebola are not certain, and so this is, I mean, it's just going to spread like wildfire once it gets going. It's that exponential growth in a population that's allowed to mix freely. So, like I said, become prepared. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about some comet issues coming up. The Siding Spring comet is approaching Mars right now. It'll be there the 19th, which will be Sunday midday. And oddly enough, NASA just had its closed door news release meeting before this comet gets to Mars, so they can release all the information before it gets there, and they're not having any live coverage of this in terms of the news media. So it's obviously a very controlled event. The MAVEN mission, I'll be talking about that, just arrived at Mars. All the instruments are on, and that mission is meant to dual satellites to monitor the atmosphere, the upper atmosphere of Mars, and weather conditions. So it's a perfect time for monitoring the passage of a comet, something that has not happened in thousands of years. But I'll be talking a little bit about that. A story here that I personally investigated over the past couple of weeks. This is so bizarre. I think you just have to sit down. And this is part of the reason I talked about the UNESCO school in Alberta is this is coupled with some documentation I'm doing on the infiltration of schools to influence young people regarding Tier 2 science. This is the NASA standard science, bogus science that they're pawning off on the public. You know, that plate tectonics and that warm water creates hurricanes and, you know, on and on and on. That the weather is caused by light from the sun. But anyway, I happened to be at a friend's house. The radio was on and I was listening and I thought, gee, there's like little Johnny, literally little Johnny on this show. And he's going, oh, gee, isn't science great? And I'm listening to this and I'm kind of, you know, I'm talking with other people, but listening out of the corner of my ear to this program that's on the radio. This is a very conservative, creationist Christian radio station. And I'm going, okay, well, interesting. They're trying to teach the kids about science. That's very good. And then comes the Tier 2 heavy-handed so-called science or bogus science, and they're trying to justify or corroborate biblical scripture with science. And who is doing this? But it's a program done by NASA. And I'm going, whoa! I when I finally figured out what was going on, I just about fell over. I just couldn't even believe it. So little Johnny, literally little Johnny on the program is, oh gee, isn't science great? It explains everything in the Bible. And so there's a guy who's Mr. NASA scientist who's taking little Johnny on a tour of facilities, and little Johnny gets to go into a aircraft which is going to fly through the eye of a hurricane. And they're explaining that, now remember that hurricanes are formed from warm water, little Johnny. And little Johnny is, oh yes, I remember that, that's what you taught me. And then they go, well, now in the Bible, remember that creationists thought that there was a lot of volcanic activity back in the time of Noah. And remember that that volcanic activity would come up from the plate tectonics, ultra plate tectonic movement, it's called now. And that would allow heat to belch up and heat the oceans, and then they would have hyper hurricanes. And the hyper hurricanes caused the Noah's flood. I'm like, oh my goodness. I cannot believe this. NASA has a program on a conservative Christian creationist radio program. And then at the very end, they go, see, little Johnny, how science and creation are in agreement, on 100% agreement with what happened a long time ago in the Bible, and you can explain these events. And the earth just jumped up and did this all by itself, little Johnny. So don't think about anything from outer space, and you sure don't want to listen to that Mr. McCanny over there. But I just about couldn't believe it. They are so intent on infiltrating the minds of young people. Now, they already got them locked up in the public schools. They're the NASA, you know, the domineering standard science baloney is so entrenched in textbooks in the public schools, and most other private schools use those same books because they're, well, they're the only ones around. But now, you know, this NASA-sponsored program for creationists trying to show that NASA science is corroborating in agreement with creationism. Oh, my goodness. I just am in awe at the levels they are going at to infiltrate the minds of young people in this country. And so just in review, hurricanes are not formed from warm water. The biggest hurricanes in history were formed in the North Atlantic, in the middle of winter. There's no warm water up there, boys and girls. None at all. Mars has been recorded with hurricanes. There's no water at all on Mars. So where is the warm water that creates hurricanes? Well, it doesn't exist. Hurricanes are created by electrical conditions that are associated with the planet, with electrical currents passing by in outer space. These are the true sources of hurricane-type activity. In the program with Little Johnny, they're going, and now once the low pressure, the heat from the ocean forms, then there's a low pressure cell, and then the Coriolis force, and they're trying to sound real scientific, and Little Johnny goes, Coriolis force? And then they try and explain this to Little Johnny, and it's just beyond bizarre. Hurricanes are formed when electrical conditions form, the clouds form, for example, in the Atlantic, the clouds roll off of Africa. They start connecting electrically with the ionosphere. Those currents, especially in the summertime, when we're in the return current sheet that is in the solar system, the return current sheet of the excess current of protons in the solar wind, that causes the electrical capacitor that builds up around the solar system that drives all of our weather on all of the planets in all of the electrical conditions, etc. That's centered in the month of August, and that's why we have the hurricane season in the month of August that's centered around that. It starts in June, ends in November, and I'll be talking a little bit about the hurricane season and the fact that we really had a very low level of hurricane activity this year. But I'll talk about that in a little bit later. But the point is that hurricanes are caused by electrical conditions that come from outside the planet. The Noah's flood was caused by a passing comet in which we spent 40 days and 40 nights in the tail area of a very large comet. And I talk about this on my 2-CD set, where I go into the best explanation of this. There's an hour-long lecture on the Noah's Flood. The CD set, and by the way, that's included in this package that I talked about, the Ebola package. It's a kind of strange name for a package of products, but that CD set, or if you just wanted to order it on my webpage, it's the Planet X, the lectures, 18 hours of lectures on Planet X and Ancient Celestial Disasters. It's a 2-CD set. It's only like $11.95 for that CD set, and that's something that kids should really listen to understand the physics of how these ancient celestial events happened. But at any rate, and I found that rather strange, too, because creationist Christians would be believing that that the Noah's flood was created by God, not some plate tectonic activity in the middle of the ocean. You know, it just was such a bizarre program where, you know, NASA has got Little Johnny on there teaching him about NASA science and relating it to creationism. And like I say, the very last statement in the program was, "Now, Johnny, do you see how modern science is in agreement with creationism?" And Little Johnny's like, "Oh, yes, I see. Oh, boy. Wow." It just blew me away. That's all I can say. This is a story that's equally bizarre. NASA has an Orion mission. It's called Orion, and it's a new series of spacecraft. It looks just like the old Apollo spacecraft. But they have a video that I watched. Someone, a listener, sent this in. And they're going to send this laden with instruments through the Van Allen belts to see what the effect of the Van Allen belts would be on a spacecraft. And they say they have to do this before they send astronauts up there because the astronauts, they have to make sure that it's not dangerous. And I'm going, wait a minute, Batman and Robin. They sent, supposedly, all these guys through the Van Allen belts to go to the moon back in the 60s and early 70s, and they're all living to a ripe old age. None of them had any problems, so what's the big deal? So, you know, here is the walking contradiction. And recently, other people have been sending in, NASA every now and then finds a way to put in the news media some kind of little twist about man going to the moon. The whole issue is not about what somebody says, or there's some new people that weren't even born when this Apollo program went on. I was in college when that was going on, when the initial Apollo program. We had all the documents of the Apollo program and all of the information for the Apollo program, and then we watched on TV. That's when I was in college, and then during the 70s. But then later it became obvious that there were some real problems with the story as it came back. I mean, things just didn't add up. So basically the story is this. There were only a few people associated with the astronauts at that time, and even those on the ground weren't up in space to see them, to see if they really went to the moon or not. So the question is, NASA has never provided scientific evidence that they took people to the moon. Very simple. It doesn't depend on what some yo-yo from some company says, or some NASA Trekkie blogger says. It doesn't. That's just more hot air. It doesn't matter what anybody says. I mean, there's a lot of evidence that shows that they didn't go, that they faked the photos. NASA's only statement is that they lost all the photos, the film footage, all of the records of the Apollo and Saturn rocket systems, and they don't have a shred of data on anything. And they lost it all. That's NASA's official statement. But this Orion mission, this is just so strange that now, in the year 2014, they're going to fly this spacecraft out into outer space through the Van Allen belts to see if it's safe to be there. Anyway, that's just more than beyond bizarre. Here's a story that I was talking with some financial people who are familiar with the financial scenario in the United States right now. The official statement of the United States for people who've given up their citizenship and moved to other countries, now to do this you have to pay an exit tax. You have to turn in your passport and any identification from the United States. So there's a process that one has to go through. The official document that's published by the U.S. government, that is the official statistics, say that 212 people have done that in the past year. In talking to this financial advisor, he said the number is around 40 to 50,000 people. And now these are people who are starting companies. They're active. These are not retirees on Social Security. No, they have they're a non-issue. They're living. Those people are just kind of living to die. They're just kind of going on vacations and going visiting the grandchildren or whatever. But the people who are really active, the people who are really movers and shakers, are bolting from this country like popcorn. 40 to 50,000 in 1 year. And now imagine, that's 40 or 50,000 businesses that have bolted from this country, and they cannot exist as being part of the United States. They cannot function within the framework of the United States. And that's just that's a number you will not hear from government statistics. Speaking of government statistics, the IRS this week was shut down. Their phone lines were not being manned, and any calls to the IRS, this is what people have been reporting. I got a lot of reports on this, that people who are trying to contact the IRS either through the internet or on phone found a dead end. Nobody home. Technical difficulties, it didn't work. And so just very strange activity there. Okay, dealing with comets. This week, Sunday, the 19th of October, and this is going to, the actual passage is going to happen around noontime if you're in the United States. And the Mars, even if you were in nighttime, would not be visible, but only in the southern hemisphere. So it's possible that some people living in Australia, see, possibly some of our listeners over in Australia, would get an evening time view of Mars at the time when comet sighting spring is passing. So at any rate, maybe somebody could send in some pictures, something like that, email them. But I recall that the my email, when I had my Comet watch programs on before, my emails kept getting intercepted. So people who were sending in information and pictures. I had many Comet watch programs over the years. At that time, all of a sudden, my emails get intercepted. The people get basically invaded. Their computers become invaded by the government. But possibly somebody can post something on the internet. But the official time is, I think it's 1800 UT, Universal Time. So calculate that no matter where you are on Sunday the 19th. And that is when Comet Sighting Spring will spend a number of hours passing the planet Mars. Other than that, we have to rely on NASA with its 5 spacecraft, 2 rovers, and there are 3 spacecraft up in the space. They have the Mars orbiter, and then the 2 spacecraft from the MAVEN issue, which are there to study the upper atmosphere and the atmospheric conditions and the weather conditions on Mars. And then India has a spacecraft that they call MOM, M-O-M, that is there also to observe this comet passing Mars. And so it's very, very strange situation. Sure, a lot of interest in Mars. And now, in retrospect, looking back, Russia and the European Space Agency and England have all attempted to send spacecraft to Mars. And gee, just none of them ever seemed to get there. That's very strange. And the only one that got there was the one from India, and they happened to have an agreement with NASA. And I bet the agreement was like, we'll let your spacecraft get there if you share data with us, and you only let out the data that we approve of being let out. And if you don't, your spacecraft ain't going to make it there. You're going to have some problems with it. And whatever those problems, I bet NASA could fix it, whether it's jamming the signal with an Earth-orbiting satellite, or who knows what other capabilities are out there. Maybe the military is out there with some satellites that go out and zap that. But like I said, Russia, the European Space Agency, and England have all attempted to get to Mars with unmanned spacecraft to monitor Mars, and none have been able to get there. Now, in retrospect, it seems that they probably knew about Comet Sighting Spring maybe a long time ago, even though it's a small comet. So could that have been one of the reasons why nobody was allowed to get to the planet Mars to do any independent observations of the planet Mars? It's very strange, too. I was just talking about the Moon program. There are many independent. The Japanese have a probe around the Moon. The European Space Agency does. There are a number of other probes that have orbited the Moon recently, Russia also. And none of them can seem to see the Apollo spacecraft. And they say, well, they're just too small down there. Well, no, give me a break. You're orbiting the Moon. There's no atmosphere. You can go on Google Maps and see your house, and you can see the house numbers on your house from a satellite. And you're telling me they're going to send something up to orbit the Moon and take pictures, and it's going to be less quality than you can look on the Internet and see the, you know, your boat in the backyard, or the, you know, the wood pile next to the house. You can tell what kind of car is in your driveway, your neighbor's driveway, or anybody else's. Give me a break. You know, that nobody, and none of these other lunar orbiters that are taking pictures and data, you're telling me that none of those have the capability of seeing the lunar landers sitting up there, that have been sitting there, you know, in an atmosphere less, no atmosphere for what, since the 1960s? And NASA has a lunar reconnaissance orbiter that was supposed to send back pictures, but what they have is a couple little pixels etched out on a picture. It looked like a nice Photoshop job. And no data, no real data of the, I mean, you should be able to see footprints, you should be able to see all of the rock patterns that were in the Apollo photographs that you're, you know, are online and in books, etc. You should be able to see all of that in these photos, but not a trace of real data. That's from the University of Arizona, another NASA-funded misinformation site. Okay, so anyway, getting back to the sighting spring, comet sighting spring at Mars, what I would expect is some electrical interaction. The comet is coming by. It's going to have a different electrical potential. The distance between the comet nucleus and Mars will be 82,000 miles. The diameter of the coma of this comet is less than that. But the shroud, now the MAVEN mission just measured the oxygen hydrogen shroud around Mars, which is very large, and that's an electrical, these are high energy ions. There's no reason for these to be there around Mars. These are the same effects as comets. Back in the Halley's Comet days, it was detected, and then also in Giacobini-Zinner, when the ISEE-3 satellite passed by that comet back in like the mid-1980s, and Comet Halley's in the mid-1980s also, the comets exhibit an ion cloud, hydrogen, primarily hydrogen, that's the bulk molecular species there, but it's ionized, and what that is it's a Debye shield. Now, if you have something electrically charged in outer space, it's very quickly going to adopt a shielding, and it's called Debye shielding. These are basically ions that surround, positively charged ions, that surround a cloud, and this goes out possibly as much as a million miles. There's a comet that was detected, the Solar Polar Orbiter was a satellite that went around the polar region of the sun and orbited the sun to try and understand the solar wind conditions out of the plane of the planets. And what it detected was something like 100 million miles away. It detected the presence of a comet. In that comet, this was the shielding part of the comet. That's how large these shields can be. So the shield of comet sighting spring will be very large and certainly will encompass Mars. And within that shield, that's where you can get the electrical discharges because you're within the shielding. It's like it's as you go farther out in the shield, you're basically receive more and more of the shielding. And when you're outside that shield, you don't see the charge at all, unless you pass through the sunward side electron beam, which goes all the way to the sun. And that's not the case. So at any rate, Mars will definitely interact electrically with comet sighting spring. Okay, that should cause auroras. In Mars' upper atmosphere, it should cause weather systems all the way down to the ground on Mars. It could cause even hurricanes, because Mars has a very faint atmosphere. It would cause the luminescent clouds. On Earth, we call those noctoluminescent clouds, but that is another phenomenon, aurora. Those are electrical phenomena associated with electrical currents from outer space. It could connect in and simply cause weather systems. It could cause tornadoes. Mars has tremendous tornadoes that rip across the landscape. And by the way, that's one reason why when you're looking at the MAVEN mission, NASA's going out there saying, well, we have to discover why Mars lost its atmosphere and oceans billions of years ago, but that's bogus because you can see all of the pristine rivers, the river beds, I should say, they're dry, the ocean erosion. I've been in meetings with NASA scientists where they were showing all of the detailed erosion patterns on Mars. And these would have all been destroyed over the so-called billions of years since they were formed if Mars lost its atmosphere billions of years ago. These are pristine, little, teeny, meandering creek beds that are still perfectly formed on the Martian surface. these would have been destroyed and covered up and just done away with in very short order. So that proves that Mars lost its atmosphere and oceans very recently, and you can look to the history books. Velikovsky goes into this in great detail, that the ancients saw Mars as a blue planet. It had a different orbit. It came closer to Earth. It lost that atmosphere and its oceans in a single night when Venus the comet came raging through the solar system on its way to becoming the planet Venus. And this was just a number of thousands of years ago. So, you know, the true history of Mars is there, but once again, NASA in its stupidity, you know, its complete ignorance and complete ignorance is part of ignoring, that's part of the root word, ignoring the facts, and going up there with a preconceived notion that they're going to try and prove that this is somehow billions of years ago. So, but anyway, the MAVEN mission arriving just weeks prior to the sighting spring comet arriving there, obviously being sent to observe the comet and the comet interaction with Mars. But of course, they're going to report the Tier 2 baloney science to the public. That's why they don't have any news media there on Sunday. Why do you think NASA had the news media event, you know, 3 days before or 4 days before the actual passage of the comet? Because they didn't want any news media in there snooping around to see the real data. And they would give the data before it even was taken. It doesn't get any better. So that's comet sighting spring. I don't think we're going to see much as far as real data coming out of this. NASA is not well known for its openness on real data. What I suspect we're going to see is a lot of doctored data, a lot of mumbo jumbo, you know, dirty snowball, whatever, and no real information coming out of NASA regarding, or the Indian Space Agency either, regarding sighting spring. Switching gears a little bit, the Rosetta mission this past week released some photos and some information, and what they've discovered is some boulders, some fairly good chunks of rock sitting on the surface of the nucleus of the comet that's being observed by the Rosetta spacecraft, which is now around 30 kilometer distance away from the nucleus. And so they're saying, well, gee, these must have formed when ice and gases melted or sublimated from the nucleus of the comet, and when the pillars eroded away, the boulders fell. And they're saying that they suspect that the boulders are just kind of puffs of loosely put together gravel, which they suspect is part of the comet nucleus makeup. But obviously, we're dealing with an extremely hard, dense rock at this point. And, you know, once again, I really have to wonder, can these scientists really be this stupid? I announced a week ago that there's a jet coming off the nucleus of the comet that Rosetta mission is observing. And it is, they saw a jet of dust coming off. Well, they have detectors on the spacecraft which are fully capable of seeing the gases that are supposedly pushing this dust out of the nucleus. But they're not detecting anything, yet they're still talking about the dust and gas. Also, how does this single jet of dust and sand that occurred on September 26th translate into a nice, beautiful, symmetric tail that is observed on this comet that has been observed actually for years? It's had a nicely developed comet. On September 26th, it develops a little jet, and they go, oh, there it is. That's creating the tail, and it's completely bogus. So once again, you're dealing with scientists, and I just have to wonder, can these people really be this stupid? But I got an email from a listener who had been communicating with one of the European Space Agency scientists, and got to some of the more pointed questions, and apparently it became clear that he had been feeding some information to me. The European Space Agency scientist said, "I can no longer write to you. I have to think about my family." What a scientific statement that is. What that says is that the guy can't tell him anything real. He can't talk about the truth because he'd lose his job and his family would starve. Okay, I'm going to return to the topic of Ebola here. This information is, to me, beyond shocking. And this is the information from the Texas hospital. I first want to start off with a private phone call I received where a person living in Texas, a small town in Texas, said that a family from that town was on the plane with the nurse that went from the Dallas, was cleared for flying, even though she reported being sick, having not feeling good. They cleared her to fly. She flew, from what I understand, to Cleveland. And there was a family on that plane that returned, is now in Dallas, in a small town near Dallas, and the kids are going to school. So the number of people that have been exposed to Ebola now and that are traveling and re-exposing other people and don't even know they have Ebola, because a lot of times the symptoms don't surface for up to 21 days, and sometimes even after that. So you have people now who have been exposed, who are exposing other people, and this exponential growth. They say that the patient who died in early October in the hospital in Dallas was in a room with seven other people. Oh, jeez. No, this is, I'm sorry, this is not funny. This is insane. This is insane. And the administration of the hospital in Dallas is going to say, "We're deeply sorry." And they're claiming that they had given the nurses training about this last summer, but the nurses are coming out and saying that they were not given any training. That nobody talked to them at all. They were given some informant documents or something, some of them, but were not given any formal training on how to deal with Ebola or even what to look for. So this guy waltzes into a hospital, says he's from Liberia, says that he's not feeling good. They release him. He goes home for 2 days and is out in the public. They don't know where he went, who he contacted. This guy dies from Ebola a number of days later, infects two nurses, and now these one nurse flies on an airplane up to Cleveland, goes through airports, checks, going through the security check. How many people have been exposed? And this is going to go like wildfire. The Center for Disease Control, these people should be in prison. The head of that hospital, prison. The people in the World Health Organization, prison. These people are criminally stupid, or criminally insane, or they're promoting this. One thing is, it's just insane. But if you look at the chain of, you know, medical errors here, it's just beyond control. And then the people are complaining. People are calling for a statement from the Surgeon General, who has been mum about all of this. Where are the people in the government? Well, the answer is obvious. This is being promoted. This is now, at minimum, you just take an estimate. This woman that flew, she has Ebola. She's sick with it, one nurse. The number of people contacted to date directly has to be minimum. When you stand in a line at an airport to go through the check, you're in close proximity. You're going through those S turns where you weave back and forth through the line. The number of people standing next to her on the going down the concourse or touching railings or using a bathroom or sitting on the airplane, and that airplane is contaminated, and then you have all of the people in the airport with this woman is walking through in a crowded airport, completely unprotected. Thousands and thousands of people being contacted, and those people are thousands of people are out there moving around in society, airports. The people are flying to all other parts of the country. Let's go back to 1917 and the flu that just basically went all over the world. When the soldiers were traveling all over the world for World War One, that's when that flu strain traveled basically around the world, killing, you know, millions and millions of people. But now we have an issue with Ebola, which is an extremely deadly, extremely contagious virus. Unbelievable that this, when it started in Africa, everybody that I talked to that's in the alternative radio media, they said it's a plant, it's going to be promulgated, and they're not going to stop this. They're not going to put the clamps on this early enough. They're going to let it spread and let it get to the United States, and now it is here. They don't have any inkling of who, nor are they going after people who were. Were you in the Cleveland airport? Were you in the Dallas airport? Were you on this plane? Were you working with suitcases with this? Did you touch the suitcase of this woman, you know, the check-in station? All of the people in the waiting area that were going on other flights. They are not doing anything to contain this. This is just being broadcast all over the United States. Schools are now closing. 76 schools have closed in Dallas area. I mean, it's just insane what is going on here. But at any rate, that's why the only thing I can do is encourage people to get ready to quarantine yourself. Get more than just a little bit supply of food, mainly dry goods that you can mix with water and eat. I would say minimum 6 months worth of food. That's why I have the Ebola special on my website. I'm keeping, in fact, I'm going to announce right now, I'm going to lower the prices on my stainless steel water filter, the 10 packs of filter elements, and I just made a decision to do that right now. This will be posted after the show. And the pre-filter, I'm going to lower it a little bit, because I just, and what we're going to do is watch the inventory. All of the orders that are made prior to Monday will be shipped. They'll be packaged on Monday. They will ship no later than Tuesday. And that's all of the items, so go to the webpage. People just have to prepare. So I'm lowering my prices on the stainless steel water filters, on the filter elements, the 10 packs, the pre-filter, and then the Ebola special price I talked about before, $9.95. I'm going to drop that to $9.50. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. Remember the webpage, jmccsci.com. JMCCS is in Sam, C is in Charlie, I is in Indigo.com. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.